Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. 2 months after Election Day, the Alaska Supreme Court is scheduled to hear oral arguments Friday in a suit challenging the vote count in Fairbanks Statehouse District 1. The legislature is scheduled to go into session later this month, and the case has the House at a standstill, unable to elect a speaker until a majority is determined. KUAC's Robin reports.
The careful, persnickety points each party argues can be fascinating or frustrating. Half the voters in this downtown Fairbanks district voted for each side. Remember, this race was certified as a tie between Democrat Catherine Dodge and Republican Bart Laban until the November 30th recount put Laban one vote ahead. Dodge filed a complaint to the Division of Elections on that day, challenging the way four ballots were counted. Laban's people, joined with the Alaska Republican Party, intervened shortly thereafter, challenging six ballots. And in a 6.5-hour hearing on December 20th, attorneys argued to Superior Court Judge Eric Arseth why the ballot should be counted differently. When it was over, Arseth let the count stand, saying new evidence could not be considered. The Division of Elections did the best it could with what was known at the time, and the state needs to move on.
The legislature has made the emphasis of a prompt decision, in my words, is more important than a perfection in terms of the election process itself.
Parties had 1 week to protest, and they did. Last Friday, Dodge, Laban, and the Division of Elections each filed briefs. Their basic arguments haven't changed, but the candidates' attorneys each found reasons Arseth's ruling is in error and want new evidence to be allowed. If Laban's people get their way, he would get three more votes and Dodge would get one fewer. The Dodge campaign thinks she would gain two votes and Laban would lose two if their arguments prevail. And the Division of Elections, now with a new administration, thinks the count should stay as it is. All three will argue their points in front of the Supreme Court on Friday morning. Each party gets 20 minutes starting at 9 a.m. Since the justices will have read everything before that, the time will mostly go to questions and answers. It's unlikely, but possible, for the justices to rule on the case that very day. The clock has been ticking down to the January 15th opening for the Alaska legislature, which would like to know which party is holding the seat for District 1. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Rapping gave away a Fairbanks man driving a stolen pickup truck this morning. Alaska State Troopers report pulling over a new GMC Sierra covered in shipping wrap on Van Horn Road in South Fairbanks around 3:30 this morning. Troopers say 44-year-old Jerry Green was driving the truck he stole from a local dealership. Green was jailed on vehicle theft and other charges. The truck was returned to the dealer. A new study has found that one of coho salmon's most valuable senses may diminish as more carbon dioxide enters the North Pacific Ocean. KBBI reports that effects on the sense of smell threaten predator avoidance and the abilities to find natal streams and spawning mates. Chase Williams is a postdoctoral researcher at the University of Washington. Williams worked on the study in conjunction with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Northwest Fisheries Science Center.
And so we did this study because over the past almost 10 years now, there's been a lot of research coming out of Australia on tropical reef fish and a couple other places in the world looking at the effects of elevated CO2 on fish behaviors.
In this particular study, Williams and his colleagues measured juvenile coho salmon's ability to detect predators by injecting ground-up salmon scales into tanks holding individual fish.
So normally when fish's skin is lacerated, say by a predator munching down on a fish, there's a chemical cue or cues, no one's quite sure exactly what yet. But those odors are released in the water, and nearby fish of a similar species have a very strong avoidance reaction to it.
For 2 weeks prior to the test, different groups of juvenile coho were exposed to current CO2 levels in Puget Sound and estimated levels for both 50 and 100 years from now. The study measured each fish's avoidance response when scales were injected into their tanks, and coho that were exposed to higher levels of CO2 were increasingly indifferent to the smell.
And what we found was that the salmon are likely still smelling the odors, so there's no changes in the way their nose is detecting the odors, but we did pick up changes in the way that their brain was potentially processing those odor signals. And so that's what's likely driving the behavioral changes.
Williams hopes to conduct similar experiments on other salmon species and says the study is concerning for all salmon from the Pacific Northwest to Alaska, particularly for populations that are currently struggling. I'm Dan Bross.